Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Cosmo Pharmaceuticals half-year results 2015. I am Maria, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to the management team of Cosmo Pharmaceuticals. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alessandro Della Chà, and here with me is Chris Tanner, the CFO, and Luigi Moro, the CSO of the company. The purpose of this conference is to introduce you to our first half results. You may have seen our press release. The highlights of this half are the following. We have created Cassiopea, which is actually the company name for dermatology division. We have positioned Cassiopea as an integrated specialty dermatology pharma company, and we have listed it on the stock exchange. This has generated a profit of 258.5 million euros. And we see this also as the first step towards implementing our overall corporate strategy that, if you wish, we can discuss in detail afterward. The other first half highlight is that the Uceris TRX increased by 22.7%. So we think that the sales of this new drug are on a very good trajectory. In the meanwhile, Lialda market share continues to improve, and now Lialda has 31% of the 5 ASA market. Our phase 3 clinical trial for methylene blue in North America and in the European Union are going as envisaged, so we expect that we will be able to gather all data by year end. As you may recall, in March, we have filed to the FDA the 510K for the approval of our first medical device, SIC-8000, a submucosal injectable composition whose purpose is to lift the polyps during the colonoscopy and make the removal faster and safer. And in June, we have received a series of additional questions from the FDA, especially related on some preclinical results. We have answered to the question. We have filed the answer, and now we expect to have an answer from the FDA by the end of August. Also, in the first half of this year, we have completed, as planned, the transfer of our seat to Luxembourg, and therefore, right now, we are a fully operating Luxembourg company. I suggest that now we go a little bit more into the details of the income statement, and so I would pass the word to our CFO, Mr. Chris Tanner. Chris, please.
Thank you very much. I'm now on page 5 of the presentation, which is on the website in the event that you want to follow. And on this page, you can see the summary of the revenues and all of the operating expenses as well. But what I propose is that we go immediately into the page 6 so that we can get into the details. The first half was substantially impacted by the extraordinary transaction of Cassiopea, and I want to give you a short summary of this transaction, the impact it had on our P&L. The carrying value of Cassiopea per the end of last year was 3.6 million euro. Then we announced that in order to give sufficient cash for Cassiopeia to operate until the data for the phase 3 of its main product is completed, we injected 49.9 million cash into the company. And afterwards, in the first step, we sold 4.8 million shares for 163 million Swiss francs. Now, after the transaction was completed, and it was completed on the, it was priced on the 30th and, of June, the value of Cassiopeia shares after the IPO on our balance sheet is 159.1 million euro. In addition to this, the proceeds we got from the sale of the shares are 132 million euro, and the total transaction cost, just so that you can put things into proper perspective, were 8.1 million euro. If we look at the operating income statement, the overall operating revenues declined by 51 0.3% to 20 million. Now, before you get alarmed about this, it's important to understand why they declined. In principle, they declined because you may recall that at the end of last year, Salix announced that they had been aggressively stocking the wholesalers and that they decided to cut back the inventories of wholesalers. And after the acquisition of Salix by Valiant, Valiant in addition decided that they were also going to be reducing inventories, which in essence meant that even though the TRXs, as Alex said, increased very nicely by 22.7%, the revenue we generated from the transaction for the first few months was practically zero. And we just had a pickup in the last months of the second quarter where revenues by Valiant, again, $24 million. So this indicates that we're now going to be back onto normalcy, meaning that's what we're looking forward in the second half. Now, coming on the royalties overall side, these declined by 81.5% to just $2.7 million. This was because last year in the first half, we still had royalties from Lialda, Mesavant, and Mesavancol before we reached the cap. This year, we don't have any royalties there anymore. And as I explained before, the royalties for Uceris only reached $2.4 million because of this clearance of the inventory issues. On the manufacturing, these declined by 28.6% to $11.9 million. Lialda manufacturing revenue increased by 11% to $9.9, which is, I think, in line with the overall performance of Lialda in the market, whereas Uceris manufacturing revenue declined by 74%, primarily, of course, or only because of this lull in while they were clearing inventories. Contract drug manufacturing from third parties declined by 14.9% to $5 million, but this is a coincidence. This is more or less online, and it's flat out. It's been more or less even for the past year, so this isn't anything to be alarmed about. Now, in comparison to last year, we had no milestone revenues. Last year, we had a milestone revenue when the first Uceris sales exceeded $75 million, and there were none of these this year. If we look at our operating costs, these increased by $17 million euro. I'm on page 8 now, or 64.3% to 43.5 million euro. Now, these were primarily driven by the accruals for the monetary bonus of 16.6 million. If you take these out, then overall costs were flat, more or less in line with the headcount increase by 1.7% to 182 people. You can see this if you look at the COGS. Again, in these COGS, you have a pro rata allocation of the bonus accruals. So if they went up by 10.2%, then there's a component of the personnel costs in there, primarily, of course, in the SG&A as well, which went up by 165%, as well as in the R&D expenditures. But if you look, the outsourced clinical trial costs increased by 53.4% to 4.7 million. So I think these are very well under control. Summing it up, in the income statement, the EBITDA increased from 19 million to 239 million. The net result from the disposal of controlling interest in the skin division was 258.5 million, with the net profit increasing by 209.2% to 237.5 million. The comprehensive income jumped accordingly, but from 13.1 million to 238.6 million. Now, this all, I'm on page 10 now, had a consequent impact on the consolidated statement of financial position, and I suggest we go to page 11 immediately. The 156.7 important for you to understand is that at the end of the first half, didn't get the cash from the transaction. We had a receivable. This was a receivable from the banks that the banks owed us from the proceeds of the transaction. So 156.7 million of the 218.7 million current assets are IPO proceeds and are in the form of a receivable from banks. On the other hand, practically all assets remained the same. We didn't add any property nor equipment to the company, and the intangible assets actually decreased by 28% to 7.4 million because we continued the accelerated amortization of the capitalized Uceris and Cortiment R&D expenses. If you look at the liabilities position, short-term loans slightly decreased, medium-term loans declined, and given the very high profit, the equity attributable to owners of the company increased by 239.4 million to 397 million euro. Just for you to understand, we had a slight decline in shares issued to 14.4 million shares issued, and we currently hold 315,447 treasury shares. These come in part because you recall last year when we announced that we were moving the seat, we had to offer to all those shareholders who didn't want to take part of this that we repurchased their shares, and so we repurchased some of these shares, and that increased the overall treasury shares that we have. If you look at the overall financing, 87% of total assets are financed by equity. So we're practically, for all intents and purposes, all equity financed. Now, Luigi will go through the pipeline update with you.
Well, the products are under development, and the work of development is a good progress according to the schedule that we provided. As far as Uceris, we are continuing the exportation of the registration in other countries. Currently, there are 20 countries where the product is foreseen to be present at the end of this year. An additional 20 countries are foreseen for next year, and the total market at the end of the launches that are foreseen by Peringer in the world is in more than 80 countries for the presence of the massive presence of the product. Well, the other measurement has been already told by Chris, and what is important to say is the new phase 3 product that we have is rifamycin and methylene blue. Let me start from rifamycin, where we have some delay in clinical trial due to difficult in approval of the protocol first, and then bureaucracy problem due to the importation license by custom of the Latin America country. But now the problem has been overcome, and the recruitment has started with a good rate. The methylene blue is progressing with the launch at the speed, and as Chris said, we count to conclude the recruitment of the patients by the end of the year. Currently, we are close to the 900 patients in terms of recruiting. Yes. SIC, has been already told by Alex, we are waiting for the approval of the FDA close to this month, and we have to announce that in Europe, we are filing the EU approval filing for the CE mark that is give us the allowance to sell the product in the 28th European market. And we are confident that we should be very soon in agreement with the tablet, with the timeline that we provide. I don't think that we have so much to say again.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. And now let's conclude with the slides on page 20 and 21 on our outlook. In respect of the operations, now, as we have said, we expect the manufacturing for Uceris to resume at expected levels and expected trends in terms of growth of sales. We will experience a continued growth of the Lialda, Medavant, and Medical manufacturing revenues. We also expect normal development in general contract drug manufacturing. In terms of clinical development, as said, we expect to have the completion of the phase 3 methylene blue trials. We will hopefully conclude also the rifamycin trial in Latin America, and we expect to we receive the approval between the end of August and the beginning of September of the SIC. What we plan to do immediately after approval is to start a little trial for marketing purposes in order to show safety and advantages in respect of current technique in the use of SIC. We have already agreed with some world-class top KOL on how to conduct this trial, which we expect is not going to last more than 3 months. In terms of business development, one of the things that we're currently discussing is a possible licensing agreement for Uceris in Japan, and we hope that we will be able to conclude that as well in the next few months. So if we look at page 21 and we look at the guidance, we expect that there won't be any extraordinary feature in the second half, so that we can with substantial comfort project that our profit before taxes will be around 242 million euros by year end. One of the things that we are particularly proud of is the fact that basically with this Cassiopeia transaction, not only we have been able to start implementing our overall business strategy, but we have also been able to substantially do in the first half of this year what we had told the street that we would have done in 2015 and 2016 combined, and basically without touching any of the assets that we were referring to when building up the guidance, so namely the GI and endoscopy assets. So thank you for your attention, and I believe that we can open the Q&A session right now, right? Thank you.
The first question comes from Bob Pooler, Valuation Lab. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, congratulations with the exceptional profits in the first half and also the successful IPO of Cassiopeia. With all this cash, I think one of the questions is, what are you going to use this cash for? And I think we can split it sort of, and you don't have to give a breakdown, but just an indication of where you want to invest with the cash. You have, of course, SIG, and you're also looking up to building maybe Cosmo USA. You have Methyl and Blue coming on. In the press release, you're also indicating new ideas that can feed the pipeline. Are these only GI ideas, or were you looking for other ideas that you can also do in equity for sale in the future? And then also in the press release, you indicate that you're going to share the benefits next year with the shareholders. So I believe this is indicating a dividend. Could you confirm on that?
Yes. Thanks, Bob, for the good question. And let's start from the last point. Yes, we do plan to distribute dividend next year, and I think that dividend will not be less than 20 million euros. So we believe that, of course, it makes a lot of sense for us to make our shareholder as happy as we can. But of course, we also have some ambitious development programs. We have a rich pipeline, and we're working on some very interesting projects in the GI and endoscopy space. So we expect that we will see an increase in our R&D spending as we try to progress as much as possible the pipeline. And of course, you were right in saying that we have this U.S. development option, and one of the things we're thinking of course, is to continue having enough cash to fund the U.S. operation, and independently on how we would like to frame them. As we had announced it, one of the things we were thinking of, and this will very much depend on the outcome of the Methylene Blue trial, is the possibility to set up our own U.S. GI company and eventually list it on NASDAQ. And whether we make it as a fully secondary transaction with the company fully funded, as we did already in the Cassiopeia example, it is one of the options. So we need to make sure that we continue having enough cash so that we can continue having zero debt.
Okay, thank you. So I might follow up with a couple of more questions. Just on Uceris, was there also any impact with the Valiant acquisition of Stalic? So I can imagine that there might be some disturbances there next to the stocking. And just in general, how's now the cooperation with Valeant?
No, thank you. No, the cooperation is very good. We like them very much as partners. And if there's anything that they can do very well, is to sell whatever product they have. And in fact, you can see that the sales are continuing to ramp up at a very nice pace, and according to IMS data on TRXs, which is really the only one that we care about. We see a very strong trend. Now the most recent data, June versus June, show a 22.3% increase year over year, which we think it is very consistent. What we like is also that the trajectory on the increase is quite similar to that of Lialda, so we have all good reason to trust in the relationship with Valeant.
Okay, so that's great that there's actually been no impact on the sales force with this merger. Just a follow-up question on Uceris. Do you expect any sales milestone for Uceris in the second half? And then could you also just give paint a picture of the uptake of Cortiment in the EU?
No, we don't expect any milestone in the second half from Uceris. The milestones are finished according to our license agreement. So this is why when you look at revenues of this year compared to last year, you need enough of that one-off event, which was a commercial milestone over the reaching of $75 million sales in the U.S. In respect of Cortiment, we should be able to see something, I believe, the beginning of next year, is because right now, basically, the drug is on sale only in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, the performance was very good, but in overall terms, is very low. Now, in the second half of this year, five additional countries should start to see the sales, and I believe that we will have a more clear framework on how things are doing at the beginning of next year. As you all know, because of the fact that we had to pursue together with Ferring a single registration in all single member states, this has proven a very cumbersome and time-consuming procedure. So we won't be able to see the result this year, but the beginning of the next.
Okay, thank you. And if I may, just two more questions. One on the Japanese. When do you expect to roll out there? Of course, you're looking at sciences. What kind of peak sales do you expect from that country? And then finally, also on Zaycol, NMX, in EU, any peak sales indication there and also plans outside of the EU? Thank you.
Excuse me, could you repeat the question because we didn't hear very well?
Oh, sorry. Just on Uceris then, on the Japanese rollout, when do you expect that and what kind of peak sales do you expect for Uceris in Japan? And then
let me answer on this first. And I don't know whether you are aware of this, but Pentasa sales in Japan are around 200 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that it will be fair to project sales of Uceris around one half of that, so around 100 million. That we think that makes sense as a rule of thumb.
Okay.
That's what we would expect, but clearly not soon, because you would need, of course, to educate the Japanese to the use of a steroid. And we also have to repeat the trial, so this is not something where we should expect any significant results soon. There's a whole new clinical trial that needs to be made in Japan, and this will be taken care of by our partner.
Okay. And then there's just final on Zaycol NMX, expectations there in the EU and plans outside of the EU.
Well, in respect of Zaycol, we were very happy that we were able to get the EU trademark, because in this perspective, we would like to see if there's a possibility to build a franchise around this product, because clearly if you look at it from a standalone perspective, you may not expect well, but probably we are thinking of a possibility of creating a new class of nutraceuticals. So the first important thing for us was to make sure that we could have had something that we could sell all over the Euro space without any further bureaucratic activities. Now we're starting to build up a franchise.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Andy Schneider, Z Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. I have a few questions on the timeline of the approvals and phase 3 data we can expect in the next few months. First, on methylene blue, you said so far that, or we expected so far that we get the phase 3 data late this year. Now you said that the trials will be concluded late this year. Does that mean that the data will be still published this year, or will it be more Q1 next year, or Q2 even? And also then for the plan afterwards, how many months after the phase 3 data do you expect you can file for market approval in the U.S.?
Well, thank you for the question. First of all, you should consider that in respect of the U.S. FDA in interaction, we had agreed on a special protocol assessment. Now, this is something which is very important because it already outlines all the features that you have to take into consideration in order to assess when you have the data if the drug will be approved or not. But you also have to consider that one of the reasons why it's taken this time frame to conclude the trial is that we're very careful in order to clean up all the queries while we proceed along the trial. So one of the reasons why there's a lot of time gap between the end of a trial and the filing for approval normally is that you have to clean up all the queries, and this normally requires months. In our current trial status, we have zero queries open, so we can expect that we can basically file for approval immediately after having unblinded the data. And when I say immediately after, I mean that we can probably do it in 30 days, which would be something extremely significant, because normally it takes 1 year or 7 months or 9 months to do that. So in this specific case, I believe that we will be extremely quick. You should also consider that from the standpoint of the clinical endpoint, it's very straightforward. So once you unblind the data, you don't need to dig into the data for some very sophisticated statistical analysis with all your statisticians working on that. You will basically immediately see if it has worked and how much it has worked. So this is something that should be taken into account while figuring out when we can have a significant impact, because normally people would project, okay, if you end up in December your trial, then I may expect that you file with the FDA in September or October. No, this wouldn't be the case. If we end the trial in December as we expect, we can probably file with the FDA in January. This is quite a different feature from other trials.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect. Thank you very much. And then on SIC 8000, you said that the filing in the EU will be in September after getting the results out of the US by the end of August. How long does it take usually? I'm not an expert. Until you would get an answer from the EU authorities in terms of approval?
We expect that it may take from 6 to 8 months to get approval.
Okay. Okay, so then probably by the, let's say, next summer, 1 year down the road, you will have a lot more answer, a lot more data regarding the marketability of these two things. So would that mean that we can expect an IPO of the of this TI in the U.S. Already next summer? Is that possible, or do you see it rather in 2017?
No, well, you know, actually, what we have experienced in the case of Cassiopeia is that we have been able to basically go from the conception of the transaction to its execution in less than 4 months. So yes, that would be a very aggressive timeline. But if we have clearance on SIC and on methylene blue, as we expect to have, I think that what you said is what we have in mind.
Okay, Okay, perfect. And then if I may add another question, there was quite some numbers on the cash proceeds you got from Cassiopeia IPO. We have these 132 million cash inflow, but also the 163 million shares you sold, and then 157 proceeds on your balance sheet, which you collected after June 30. So probably the easiest question would be, how much cash do you have today on your balance sheet? Is it correct that it will be close to 200 million?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. And then you said before that the dividend will be not less than 20 million, which seem not that high, given that you have 200 million, and given that you plan another IPO, which should finance the entrance into the U.S. market itself. So you probably wouldn't need like 200 million or 150 million cash injection into this business.
No, you're right.
And is this not much more possible in terms of a dividend for the shareholders?
I said not less than that, because I thought it was reasonable right now to set a threshold as the floor. I'm not saying that 20 million is the cap.
Okay. But it doesn't seem that it could be 60 million or 80 million, right? That would be too far of a stretch.
No, look, I think it's a little bit premature to see what's going to happen. We are also, you know, awash with opportunities, because I think that one of the very nice things is the fact that Cosmo is increasingly being considered as a very significant player in the space. So we take a very special pride out of the fact that we have companies and entities and institutions that are contacting Cosmo to make development together. So frankly, we would like to put no limit to our chances of growing.
Okay, and so by growing, you mean also buying new drugs, early-stage drugs?
By growing, we will essentially mean increasing our pipeline and expanding our pipeline.
Okay, perfect. And then if I may, just two short questions on rifamycin. You said that it will be a little bit delayed. So far it was planned for late this year, 4Q. What can we expect? What means delayed? Delayed by 6 months, 8 months, 12 months? What do you see from
today's perspective? Excuse me. I'm not sure I understood the question. Can you repeat it, please?
Oh, sorry, yes. On the rifamycin, you said that it's delayed. So we expect the data in 4Q or late this year. What means delayed? So is it delayed by 6 months or 12 months? Or
excuse me. Are you talking about rifamycin?
Yes, correct.
So
yes.
Look, that we don't know yet. Because first of all, I would like everybody to recall that we are not managing this trial. This trial, unfortunately, is not in our hands. Although this arm is run in Latin America, this is still part of the European branch under the management of Dr. Falk. So, and we are reporting activities that's being done by our licensee. This is not ours. So I'm not saying that we would have handled things differently, but I believe that maybe yes, we would have handled them then differently. And there has been delayed, as I said, caused first to one, there was a wrong labeling by them, that there was an error by the CRO, then there was all sorts of inconveniences. Now we are receiving data on the recruitment path, and we still believe that we can stay in the time lab. But there are a few options that we are willing to start discussing with Dr. Falk in September, immediately after the summer break.
Okay. And probably just a short one, last question. You had this 16.6 million expense for the incentive plan. I'm not familiar with the incentive plan. Could you remind me just on the most important details of it?
Yes.
And,
oh, no, look.
It will occur in 2H2 or next year.
No, thank you. Thank you for asking, because this is a very good question, and I think that it gives us the opportunity to explain that we have one of the simplest and most effective incentive plan that we have been able to craft without the need to pay very expensive consultants in this respect. The plan is very simple. We have set a threshold, first of all, of 20 million profit, consolidated profit, and then the plan says that management will management and employees, because this is a company-wide incentive plan, will receive as a bonus 7% of the consolidated profit over over the threshold of 20 million. So first we secure that we have 20 million minimum profit for shareholders, and then over 20 million, there's a 7% which is dedicated to the incentive plan. So clearly the biggest the profit, the higher the bonus, but you will never see it happening that if you have no profit for shareholders, there's going to be a bonus for management.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Peter Welford from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, thanks for taking the question. Just a couple left. Firstly, just with regards to the SIC. So am I correct in understanding then the U.S. approval could potentially come later this quarter? And it's, I think you said the European, though, would be 6 to 8 months after September. So is the decision to launch in 2016 largely based on the need to establish a commercial infrastructure? And I guess, would you be open to discussions to potentially distribute SIC in the U.S. sooner, or are you going to wait for the methylene blue to before you would make any decision?
No, thanks, Peter, for the...
Sorry, go on, Karen.
No, thanks for the very good question. Clearly, we would like to see the things aligned, because we would like to build in a full pipeline for the U.S. operation, and also consider that by sheer chance, as we have to do this marketing trial after approval of the SIC, the outcome of this trial will be known in perfect time alignment with the outcome of methylene blue.
Got it. Okay. And then just with regards to the methylene blue in Europe, can you potentially file in the same timeline as the US, do you think, or will it take slightly longer to put together the European package?
No, we think it's going to be the same timeline.
Okay.
It's a centralized procedure, okay?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And then just finally on the employee plan, just wondering, does that 20 million level get revised or increase every year, or how does in future years that threshold 20 million change?
No, thank you. The incentive plan that we have put in place is going to last for 3 years, and then will be completely revised. And we have set this threshold of 20 million for each year without any... we don't have a plan to revise it.
Great, thank you.
Next question comes from Maurizio Bernasconi, Bank of Bellevue. Please go ahead.
Good morning. A couple of questions. First of all, on the Barrett syndrome, you mentioned in March at your annual conference that you were also exploiting the use of methylene blue in Barrett syndrome. And then second question on the pipeline. When I look at your pipeline, you have many candidates like the 6-8000 and methylene blue, which are phase 3 or in registration, but then there is a huge gap. I was wondering whether you were thinking about M&A like you did, or in licensing deal that you have done with Biomass and so on, regarding product that you can then reformulate and bring better to the market, like you have shown with Lialda and Uceris. Thank you.
Sorry, Maurizio, the first question referred to methylene blue, but probably you meant SIC.
Excuse me. Sure.
Oh, no, okay, no, because SIC contains methylene blue, but we call methylene blue our colon cancer that diagnostic. Yes, we believe there's going to be a significant room for expansions over way over just colonoscopies and Barrett, as you mentioned, and in fact, this is something that we have already presented in our presentations. Yes, and we have already tested that in the Barrett, and And just consider that once SIC is going to be approved, it's not going to be approved for a specific procedure. It will be approved for use in humans. So therefore, we're not going to be limited to the use in the colon.
So you don't have to do any additional trials, clinical trials, to confirm the use for the
barrel? Luigi will answer you in a little more detail.
The preclinical plan that we submitted to the FDA was inclusive of the three main GI districts, that are the colon, of course, but also the esophagus and the gastro. So all of that has been tested for use and efficacy and safety with the SIC. All of this data has been submitted to the FDA and will be submitted to the European one.
Okay. And regarding the pipeline, so it will just be a reformulation story like it has been for Lialda and so on, where you are best at, or will you get some complete new chemical entities like Winlevi, for instance?
The sky is the limit.
Okay, yeah, and maybe just one question. You mentioned the IPO of your U.S. GI company. Cassiopeia was also a pure U.S. play, and you listed it on the SIX. Why are you now planning the listing on the NASDAQ?
Well, because we believe that the size. Well, first of all, we wanted to make this first step in an environment which was very friendly for us, and we wanted to feel kind of at home. Then Cassiopeia is also going to be a development company for a while, and then will hopefully take off. In the case of the U.S. or organization, I think that if we are successful in the development of our product, we will be talking of something that's going to have immediate sales. So there's not going to be a gap to build up the sales force and wait for the clinical results, but we will basically have to assemble a super management team that will be ready to start working on reimbursement and everything from day one. So the perspective of the company is totally different. And at that point in time, we will be looking for an absolute maximization of the value. It's going to be, if you could do it, it's going to be a transaction similar to that of Cassiopeia, but very different from a lot of perspective.
Okay. Just maybe a follow-on question. You mentioned, I fully agree on that you will need time to build on the management team, also because it's another size compared to Cassiopeia. And then I was wondering, will you, in order not to waste time, you mentioned that by the end of next summer, you should have the approval of CK-1000 as well of Methylene Blue. And then will you then consider earlier on to go to IPO, or only after the approval and so on, spend, let's say, so 4 months to build on the team and so on? Can you give us some color on that?
Well, yes, sure. Thank you. First of all, we are already in discussion with two different, as I believe already said in some presentation, with two already senior experienced U.S. management team, and so the discussions are ongoing. But given the fact that we also need to then discuss, compensation and founder shares and all those things that a U.S. management team would be willing to do, we're not really going to close any of the discussion with them before we know exactly what we have in our hands. So there's no reason to rush right now, because the Cassiopeia experience, if anything, has proven that we can do things very, very, very quickly. So in order not to waste shareholders' value, Cosmo shareholders' value, we will finalize the negotiation with whatever management team will be running the company only once we know precisely what kind of value we have in mind. And therefore, also from this perspective, it will very much depend on the results in order to understand what we have in mind. If the results are very, very, very clear, then you can assume that probably the approval will not add that much in terms of value, and then we may accelerate the transaction. This is something that, frankly, we will discuss only once we've seen the data, because, we are also a little bit superstitious, so it's nice to talk about future programs, but every time we're discussing about this, we are also touching wood, because we don't know yet what's going to happen.
Sure. So basically, you're saying that the timeline for the next IPO or spin-off will be set only once you have the results of the phase 3 of Methylene Blue, which is by year-end. Okay.
Absolutely. But still, if we assuming that we can keep the timeline as is, as we discussed with your colleagues before, we think that summer 2016 is a reasonable time frame.
Many thanks.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions.
Okay, well then, thank you so much for attending and have a nice summer break and speak to you soon. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.